Ever had a swollen limb? I remember I was stung by a stingray once, and boy, the foot blew up like a football. Luckily, it's generally nothing to worry about, but not so for my next guest. Steve Barry from Terrigal was just 7 when he started to experience serious swelling in his hands and feet. And not long after that, he was diagnosed with a very rare condition known as HAE, hereditary angioedema. And Steve joins us in the studio looking pretty fit, mate. Actually, I must say you look fitter than I am, so you must be looking after your health.
Well, it's an early start this morning. I had a chance to get pretty for you.
Oh, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate you making the effort, mate. Now, it's Rare Diseases Day today. How rare is your condition?
I'm not sure of the exact numbers, but I think it affects around 1 in every 50,000 people or something. Mm. So pretty rare.
So you're special.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
Unfortunately. What do you remember as a 7-year-old when that first came on? It must have been sort of more shocking for your family even.
As the name of it implies, hereditary. My mother actually has this. And her father has it as well. So it wasn't a massive surprise, but to be diagnosed at 7 with severe stomach pain, just being in agony, swellings, it wasn't nice. I just remember the pain.
So the family knew there was a chance, did they? They knew about the disease?
There was a chance. The medical knowledge at the time wasn't as good as it is today. As I said, they knew about it, so it helped my diagnosis.
Mm. And did treatment help you when it was diagnosed as well at 7? Did you know? I hope you weren't in pain for too long.
I remember it being a few days, which is long enough.
Yeah.
I was then given some strong steroids, which it's never nice to be on. There's always the side effects of those, and I've been on those pretty much ever since. Mm. So it's there is better medication now. But 30 years ago, it wasn't quite so good.
But at least there was something.
There was something. Yeah. It was better than nothing, yes.
Yeah. And does it affect your day-to-day life now?
It can do. It's having a swelling, a heavily swollen foot or hand or something. It just means that I can't do a lot of the day-to-day things, picking up a pen and writing or just walking comfortably or anything. There's always the risk of swelling in the throat, which carries its own risks.
Life-threatening, yeah.
Yes, yeah, it can be, but as I said, a lot of the medication around now can help reduce that.
Mm. We're going to talk to Fiona Wardman in a moment. She's actually had that swelling in the throat, and it was a terrible experience for her, and she's the president of HAE Australasia. How do people get it? What's the path, the genetic pathway?
It's something to do with a genome in my DNA. It can get passed down through the family. It's not a guarantee that it will do. I and my sister have it. One of my aunties doesn't. So there's no guarantee it will be passed on. And as Fiona will tell you, it can also just randomly mutate as well. Mm. So for a lot of people, it's a lot worse if you have no history of it.
We'll go to Fiona now. I might get you to put the headphones on now. Thanks, Steve. Good morning, Fiona.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning.
Fiona Wardman is the president of HAE Australasia. Tell us about the history with HAE, which came out of the blue, I believe.
Yes, for me, I, like Steve, had swelling from the age of 7. I wasn't diagnosed until I was 33. There is no family history in my family, unfortunately, otherwise I could have had a diagnosis a lot earlier. But not having a family history, it did take, obviously, a long time. So 25% of patients do have a spontaneous mutation. So being a rare condition and then, obviously, not having that hereditary nature of the disease is even rarer.
Gee, that's a strange thing, isn't it? So you got this spontaneous mutation of a gene that created the disease. Can you then be a carrier of that disease?
Yes, I can be. There's 50% chance of passing the defective gene on to any offspring. Fortunately or unfortunately, we haven't got children, so it started and stopped with me. We do have families out there that do have the lucky situation where none of their children receive the defective gene, and sometimes it could be, you know, 50% of those kids or all of them that have received the gene.
Is that rare in hereditary diseases, that there can be this spontaneous mutation with this condition and then you can be a carrier?
Well, I'm not sure about other diseases, but certainly, as I mentioned with this one, there's 25% chance of getting the defective gene, even though there's no carriers in the family.
Now, we might have to get a specialist on, because you've opened up an interesting line of questioning there, things like haemophilia. I don't think it can go the way that HAE can go. Describe your symptoms. I believe when it hit your throat, it almost took your life.
Absolutely. And this was before I was diagnosed, so I had no idea that it could actually kill me. Through my years, from the age of 7, I had sort of swellings in the limbs, and as I hit puberty, it got worse. And then it also affected my internal organs, which I also had no idea, not being diagnosed, that it could actually affect the insides. I went to bed one night. I woke up with a swollen neck, and very quickly it progressed to my throat and on the inside. And I pretty much sat on the lounge all day, not being able to breathe properly, only through my nose. I couldn't speak. I couldn't eat. And obviously I had no idea that I could go to hospital and get treatment for that. I now know, knowing all the things that I do know, how lucky I am to be alive today. And this is part of why we want to get the awareness out there, so that if anybody is experiencing these types of swellings, or, you know, that they can't explain, to go and see a doctor and see if you can get a referral to a clinical immunologist. They can always get in contact with us too, and we can point them in the right direction.
Yeah, one in 50,000, you know, it'd be also tough for the medicos sometimes, would it, to work out what was going on?
Yeah, absolutely, Scott, because the thing is with this, it does present itself as either an allergic reaction if it's, you know, in your throat. Sometimes they think it's an allergy, or you can have sort of raised skin and before it actually goes into a full-blown swell. Or if it's in the stomach, it's gastrointestinal issues, and people get diagnosed with IBS. They've had their appendix out because the symptoms are very similar. Mm. And so there's a lot of misdiagnosis and underdiagnosis, as well as procedures that aren't necessary happening to these patients.
I was at a thing at Terrigal to launch the Red Shield appeal, and they had Bill Moss. He came out of what they call the Millionaires Factory at Macquarie Bank, and found out that he had this rare type of muscular dystrophy, a rare disease indeed. And he was saying that the rare diseases, if they combined into one lobby group, like the Cancer Council, like the Heart Foundation, who do so much work and raise so much money, they would be as big. As powerful. I don't know if he's still pushing to have that happen, but it seemed to make sense. Is that something that maybe could happen to give more, you know, sort of fundraising power, I guess, for research and all the rest of it for the rare diseases?
Yes, absolutely. So our organisation is part of Rare Voices Australia, which are combined different rare diseases, because you're right, as we're small in numbers, but there's actually between 7,000 and 8,000 different rare diseases. So, you know, when you look at it on the spectrum like that, there is a lot more people out there with a rare disease. It may not be the same, but it's a rare disease. And then, you know, combined, we actually are strong in numbers. And there isn't enough research or money available for that to happen. And just creating awareness like we're trying to do today is just getting that message out there to people that you're not alone. There are other people going through the same thing, maybe not necessarily the same symptoms, but we're all fighting for the same thing, to be recognised, to be diagnosed, to make sure that we have a good quality of life.
And Steve, and certainly join in here, Fiona, as well, when you do have a rare disease that no one knows about, do you get the same amount of empathy as someone who has something, oh yeah, grandma had that, or you know, that you know, ovarian cancer is terrible, and it is. But you know what I mean? Is that sort of, is it hard sometimes to explain?
It can be. I don't meet many people with this. In fact, the only people I've ever met have been through the HAE meetups. So just on a day-to-day basis, it's you don't really want to go into your full life story. Yeah. And a lot of people, they look at you and they see, I can't see anything wrong. There's nothing wrong. But yeah, hopefully trying to raise awareness of this and other conditions will help people to realize that, you know, there could be something wrong and that occasionally I might be unwell for a reason that you can't see.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's so easy, isn't it, when you say I've got this or that, that it's so common, but when it's a 1 in 50,000, people take a while to get it. And as you say, it'd be a pain to have to recount what we've just done here in the last 10 minutes every time someone says, oh, what's wrong with you? What about the future for you both? And feel free to jump in here, Fiona, too.
Well, the future, already the present is much better than it was 30 years ago. I understand there's a lot of research going into treatments for this, and hopefully it can only get better. Less side effects to the medication will just mean for a more normal life for myself and other sufferers.
When you have things like this, is it also sometimes a window into how the body works and how we may be able to use the things that are happening to you for the betterment of health as well? You know, genetic changes rather than things that cause drastic health problems to actually fix health problems.
I think so. It's seeing the various different rare diseases, it shows how many different ways the body can go wrong. Understanding those can help with other things that maybe we don't yet understand.
Mm. Well, good luck to you both. We know about it now, hereditary angioedema, swelling that can affect different parts of the body. Just before you go, Fiona, what's the process? Can you give a layman's, and I'm very lay when it comes to anything medical, you know, sort of description of what the process that's happening or going wrong in the body to create swelling all over the place?
So you mentioned before haemophilia. So it's sort of the same thing, but not. It affects one gene. It's a blood disorder. So the protein in our blood is either abnormal or we don't have enough to stop the leaking of the fluid through the blood vessels. So we need to either inject those proteins, which is from people giving blood and the right protein being extracted and then going through the whole process in a lab, and then we get it back in a vial which needs to be mixed up, and then we can inject that into ourselves twice a week if we fit the criteria. This is another side of the coin. And then we can live a pretty normal life. And as Steve mentioned before, we've got good options coming our way, so it's not just the needles anymore. There's tablets coming our way. There's a lot of research in HAE around the world. So we're actually a very lucky bunch of patients to have something that only affects one gene. However, it obviously is still life-threatening, and if there's patients out there that are having those symptoms, then they need to seek treatment urgently.
And Steve, do you have that therapy with the injections?
I do. I don't take it quite as often as twice a week, but it's more reactionary, so that rather than having to go into hospital, taking up waiting times in a hospital, I can sit at home, have an injection, and then hopefully feel better.
So is this another reason why we should all race down to the blood bank at West Gosford and give a bit?
Yes, please.
None of us will complain.
Great. Well, it's good to know. You know, it's good to know. Thank you so much for talking to us on this Rare Disease Day, Hereditary Angioedema. Now we know about it, Steve Barry and Fiona Wardman, and you're doing a good job with awareness. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Scott, for highlighting it.
Thank you, Scott.
Good on you. It's 4 to 7 ABC Radio.